If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the book of Joshua. We're going to be looking at chapters 3 and 4 this morning. And as you're turning there, a wise older man told me once that, as he got older, that, unlike most people, he didn't have trouble with his memory. And he said, in fact, there are only three things that I don't remember. He said, people's names, my wife's birthday, and something else. Memory, remembering is important. And there are things that we remember. And there are things that we have to work to remember. Right? There's some things that are harder to remember than others. And each of us is wired differently. I can remember faces, and I can remember an awful lot of details about people, but I'll be honest with you, I have a really hard time remembering names. And I'm just one of those people that, someone will give me their name, and it's just gone. But I can remember who you are, where you're from, who you're related to. That's just the way my mind is wired. And I have to work to remember certain things. We all do. But remembering is important, and God's word is full of commands to remember. This morning, we're going to be looking at Joshua chapters 3 and 4. And the heart of this passage is God's command to remember. Now, just to bring us up to speed as to where we're at, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, have, back in the book of Exodus, been released from slavery in Egypt. God worked incredibly to get them out of Egypt as he had promised. And as they left Egypt, they came to the edge of the promised land, and their spies went out, and 10 of them said, there's no way we can take this land. And the people listened, in spite of the 2 spies who said, God will do this for us. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, who now is leading the nation of Israel, because due to their disobedience, they ended up spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And now here they are 40 years later, back at the edge of the promised land, ready to go in. And Joshua has again, as Moses had sent in spies, Joshua does it as well, just to scope out what lies ahead. And the spies came back and they said, the people are afraid, and God has delivered the land to us. And so they're sitting there at a camp. They've set up camp just 6 miles from the Jordan, and they are waiting. And so this is where we are as we start in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. We read, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. We're just going to pause there for a minute, because, like I said, the heart of this passage is the command to remember. But there's the question of what are they to remember? This is where the Israelites are going into the promised land, and they are taking new territory. As it said, they are going a way they have never gone before. So what do we do when we need to go somewhere we haven't gone before, when we need to move into new territory? Well, the first thing that we see in this passage, pause there, is that sometimes we have to break camp. See, this passage starts in the morning. And you can just imagine, sunrise, They're camping in this place called Shittim, which is about 6 miles from the Jordan. And they get up, and you can just imagine as the sun rises that morning and they're all in their tents, as they have been for the last 40 years as they've been in the wilderness. They've moved from camp to camp. And the first thing they have to do is break camp. Now, breaking camp is something that these people have done many, many times as they've wandered over the last 40 years. But this time it was different. This time they knew that they were moving to the edge of the Jordan, and this was going to be their last campsite, their last stop before they got to the promised land. In these first few verses, we're told they moved to the edge of the Jordan, and then the officers went through and told them to be ready. Be ready to move. See, for the last 40 years, they would set up camp and they would just stay put wherever they were until God told them to move to another place. This time, it was the last time. Now, breaking camp, this time would have been different because they were leaving the wilderness behind. They were leaving behind what they knew. They were breaking camp to go somewhere they hadn't been before. It's hard to break camp when you know you're going somewhere you haven't been before. It's hard to go into the unknown and to leave the known behind. It's comfortable, isn't it? What we know. But there are times in life where God calls us to break camp and to go somewhere we haven't been before as we follow Him. I remember in my own life, in my own journey, my journey into ministry was not quick or immediate. I had a career in the software. In the computer industry, spent 8 years doing that as a developer. I had a good job. I was in a good place. I was plugged into a good church. I had great friends. But God had been pushing at my heart that there was something that lay ahead of me. There was something different. And I still remember, for me, that breaking camp, that getting ready to move forward stage of life, where I went through and discerned where I believed God was calling me to go, and I kind of like, okay, I think this is the direction that God's calling me. This is where I need to go. But I had to take steps, and I had to put together an application for school to return to school again after having been out for 8 years. And for me, my breaking camp moment was, I still remember holding that envelope with my application, because I had to mail it. It wasn't electronic then. And I still remember holding that envelope, and I remember the very mailbox that I dropped it in. Okay, for me, that's how seminal of a moment that was. For me, dropping that application in the mailbox was breaking camp and saying, I am ready to move into new territory. God is calling me somewhere else, and I am ready to go. And we all have moments like that in life at some point. If we've ever made a big change in life, there's a moment where we realize that we're taking a step, we're ready to do something different and to go somewhere we haven't gone. A step that perhaps, at least you guys, most of you guys can probably relate to, is how many of you guys remember buying an engagement ring? Right? It's a pretty big moment, right? I mean, I remember going in and, like, it's a big step. Right? You're saying, I'm ready to do this. sometimes we have to be ready to break camp. And so, if you're taking notes this morning, just write down this question. What camp do you need to break? What steps do you need to take to be ready to be where God has called you to be? Because there are times where we are called to new places. As we fulfill the mission that God has given us to make disciples, it means sometimes breaking out of our comfort zone, of being ready to go places and to be with people that are not in our regular spheres of influence and comfort. So we pick up the passage. We see the second thing that we need to do as we are getting ready to move where God calls us. And that is, we need to be ready to get our feet wet. And so we pick it up in verse 7. We're told, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river.' Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go down into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap.' So the people broke camp to cross the Jordan. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground." See, sometimes we got to be ready to get our feet wet. See, the Israelites were following God, and they followed the command. And quite frankly, the command to break camp would have been, when you look at the whole scope of things here, would have been the easy one. It's like, okay, I can pack up my tent. But there are times when following God takes an incredible step of faith. We like to know the path ahead of us, don't we? We like to know where we're going. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think if any of us looked back over our lives, if we knew at the beginning everything that would have happened up to this point, I think a lot of us, well, we would have made some different choices. Some of them probably better. Some of them probably worse. And some of them would have probably just been to, "I'm just going to stay in my camp where I'm safe." There comes a point where we have to take a step of faith and we have to be ready to get our feet wet. Verse 15 tells us the water did not recede until the priest's feet touched the water's edge. And we're also told that the Jordan was at flood stage. And I was thinking, even just, you know, we think about the Fraser just down here, just down the road. And I don't know how many of you have done this, but you know, we've gone a couple of times in the last few years down to Cottonwood Island Park in the summer when the water's low. And I know not this year, but the year before, I don't know if you went down there, but the river was so small that it was only like, there was a spot where it was probably less than 20 feet under the BCR bridge, right? And you look at that and you go, you know what, I could probably swim across the Fraser right now if you can't walk, right? That's where it looks easy. But then you look at it in spring, and I've gone down to the park just off Queensway here, Paddle Wheel Park, when it's flooded. And you look at it, and the benches are underwater, and the city is putting up those temporary berms because the water is so high and fast. And when you think about it, that spring flood season is more of what the Israelites were facing. And it takes a far greater level of courage to put your foot into the water's edge at flood season than it does in the middle of summer at the lows. God told the people to go, and they had to be ready to get their feet wet. This was a point of no return, because once their feet were in that river, there was no going back. Going back to my application to seminary, it was a big step to drop that in the mailbox for me. That was a big step of getting ready. But there was a time where there came to be a point of no return. As I quit my job, as I moved out of my apartment, as I got rid of anything that didn't fit in my car, as I got in my car and drove across the country. You want to talk about going somewhere you've never been? I spent my entire life at that point living in Metro Vancouver, and all of a sudden I had to drive to Ontario. And there's a lot of unknown road between here and there. Sometimes we got to be ready to get our feet wet. The Israelites went to the water's edge, and they were ready to get their feet wet, but then God did something miraculous. The waters stopped. Now, this doesn't mean that the way is always going to be cleared for us. There's a lot of times that God is going to call us to get our feet wet, and they're actually going to get wet. To go back to that illustration of the engagement ring. I mean, guys, you buy the engagement ring, but you don't just buy the engagement ring and put it away, right? You gave it to someone. Hopefully they said yes. I mean, but when she says yes, the great thing about that is that life from that point on is perfect and easy. Right, guys? Right? Oh, Andrew. See, when we take that ring and we ask her to marry us, and she says yes, woohoo! She said yes, like 12 years ago. Ooh. The waters don't just magically stop, miraculously stop. There's still hard times. And as we move through the book of Joshua, we see that the children of Israel, God moved in an incredible, miraculous way and cleared the way before them. But that wasn't always the case as they move through the promised land. We'll see that there were still battles to face. There was still sin to deal with. They still had to work out the mission that God gave them. God was with them, but there was still work to do. There was times where they had to be ready to get their feet wet, and they actually did get wet. So again, if you're writing down, write this down. What river do you need to be ready to get wet in? Because as God calls us forward, there will be times that we have to be ready to get our feet wet. And we will. The third thing that we see in this passage, that not only do we need to be ready to break camp, not only do we need to be ready to get our feet wet, but once we walk through that river, we need to be ready to remember this. picking it up in chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among you, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go out before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who had carried the Ark of the Covenant has stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. And just jumping down to verse 15, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the Jordan.' So Joshua commanded the priests to come out of the Jordan. And the priests came out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And no sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before." There's the command to remember. To remember this. Now, it's fitting that for those of us that are going through the emotionally healthy spirituality course at Life Together, if you have read your chapter already, you know this week's chapter is called Looking Back So We Can Move Forward. Looking Back to Move Forward, sorry. And the chapter is about looking back at our own history so that we can move forward in our lives. See, it's important for us to remember, to look back at the events and the people that shaped us. We learn a lot about ourselves when we take time to remember what has happened in the past, when we take time to know what brought us to where we are today. Remembering is a good thing. See, because we are forgetful creatures. And we just simply forget things over time. Some things just simply slip our mind. Some things we try actively to forget. But they shape us. The children of Israel were told to take monument stones. And Joshua took the stones, one for each tribe, and piled them in a monument where they camped. And the purpose was so that when your children ask, "What are these stones?" you tell them what the Lord did. It's important for us to remember our past, and it's important for us to understand how it shapes our future. See, as you go through the Bible, like I said earlier, there's many times where we're told to remember. And one of the places that really stuck out to me this week as I was preparing is as you go through the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy was the Moses' final message to these very people just before they began to enter the land. But as you go through that and as you read Deuteronomy, where God's law is laid out for his people, no fewer than 5 times are there commands that include the phrase, "Remember you were slaves in Egypt." See, God wasn't telling the people to go back and, like, you need to, you know, you were slaves in Egypt, so you need to really dwell on that. Each of those commands is to remind them of who they were and what God had done for them. They were to remember that they had been slaves in Egypt because God rescued them from that. Because God had brought them to a new place. They were to remember who they were, because in remembering who they were, they could have compassion on others. They would have love for others. They would have gratitude for what God had done. Remembering is important. And passing on to our children is important. I remember being at a business conference a number of years ago, and the topic was on succession, on how business owners could pass the business on to their children. One of the things that came out of that was that a large percentage of businesses fail more or less around their third year or their 33rd year. That's what one speaker had said. The third year, because you finally run out of money and the bank won't give you anymore. And the 33rd year, because that's when succession happens. And too often, businesses are handed off to children who don't remember the sleepless nights in those early years, that don't remember the stress and the trials of having to go out and find new customers, of having to chase down current customers to pay their bills, of having to work through staff shortages. Because their parents didn't remember to share those struggles with them. Didn't set up monument stones to say, what is that? Oh, let me tell you what God did this year. You're too young to remember, but God met all our needs this year when I didn't know how I was going to make ends meet. Oh, or this year, that employee, that, you know what? He was just trouble, but I treated him honorably, and God moved in a miraculous way. And saw us through this situation or that. It is important that we remember. It's important that we remember that we were once slaves in Egypt. It's important to remember who we were once, lost without God. It's important for us to remember the hardships and to share those as we move forward, because we cannot move into new territory. We cannot move in forward in the mission that God gives us unless we remember where we were. In fact, Christ's last command to his disciples was, do this in remembrance of me. And so we move from the story of Joshua and the children of Israel crossing the river and setting up monument stones to the table where our Lord and Savior gave us the command to do this in remembrance of him. To remember the sacrifice that was made on the cross. To remember that we were sinners lost without hope. But Jesus Christ came to earth, born as a babe, grew up to be a man, fully God, fully man, the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb, the only one whose blood could cover our sin, the only one who could bring us back into relationship with God the Father. And so we do this in remembrance of him. I'd ask the deacons to come as we together partake of the Lord's table together.